Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
Oh, come on.
Amen.
You can say it a little more energetic.
Amen.
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 Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
I have really appreciated the flow and the Spirit as we have had these meetings the last few days. It's very sweet, very precious to be with people who desire to hear the Word of God. It's always very, very refreshing and encouraging. If you have your Bibles, you can open them up to Isaiah chapter 60. It's a familiar verse. I'm sure that all of you are very familiar with it. You have probably heard many messages that have included it or have spoke about it. But nevertheless, hallelujah, there is always something fresh. There's always something energizing to get from the Word of God, no matter how many times we hear it. Isaiah chapter 60, verse 1, "Arise and shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. That speaks of a dispensation. Not only does it speak of a position of personal relationship, it also speaks of a dispensation. Hallelujah. It says, "For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee." Hallelujah. Many years ago, I'm trying to think how many years ago it might have been. When the Lord first called me to this message, I was probably 23 years old. And the Lord came to me in a vision. And in the vision, or it might have been a dream, it's hard for me to tell which is which. Sometimes they're just like experiences. In the vision, it was a very dark, dark environment. I knew that I was standing out looking at the environment of the world, so to speak. It was very dark. It was so dark I had trouble seeing my hand in front of my face. And I've never had that kind of darkness until one time I came to Africa and we were out in the bush somewhere, I don't remember where, and all the lights went out. There was no reflecting lights from the clouds down, from the cities down. It was just dark, dark, dark. We were in a meeting when it happened. And I have to say that it was one of the more blessed times that I had in ministry, because as the darkness came down and everything was dark, you couldn't see anybody. You couldn't see anybody. And I happened to be in the midst of ministering to different people walking through the congregation. And brethren, it was packed. But nevertheless, the Word of God was flowing and the prophecies continued in the ministration to the people. But that is not the type of darkness necessarily that the Lord is talking about. The Lord is talking about the darkness of sin, degradation, and death. And it says, "Darkness is upon the face of the earth, but gross darkness upon the people." So it wasn't the earth that was creating the darkness. It was the people. Hallelujah. Yeah, the grosser darkness contributes to the darkness that is outside. Hallelujah. And it's really kind of if you understand the mechanics of it, the darkness that is in us by virtue of the fall of Adam. Hallelujah. We generate that darkness, and it makes the environment that we are in darkness. And as that darkness in the environment begins to propagate and to produce, it produces more darkness in us. Because our soul in that darkness will feed upon that darkness. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. But in that place, and as I was looking, I noticed a globe of light. And it was kind of like if you go onto your computer and get Google Earth, you know how the Earth is out there, and then you press a button and it comes in. Well, it was kind of like that when the Lord was. He kind of lifted me up, and gave me a perspective, and then He would zoom in on it. And when I got closer, though, of course, those bubbles of light, they grew bigger and bigger. And as I got closer to them, I could hear the praises of God, of the people of God. They were worshiping and singing singing unto the Lord, and there was the Spirit of God. And I knew that the light was not a natural light. It was a light that was being generated by the life of God. Hallelujah. And as I was watching these different globes, and it was really basically the United States that I was seeing. I could barely now see the outline of the United States. And there were globes in different parts, but the majority of the United States was darkness. And every now and then, a little glob of light would kind of break loose or be expelled. Have you ever seen how a bubble will come out of a bubble? Hallelujah! But it was not just like a bubble. It was like a bubble of light, and it would come out of that bigger bubble, and you could see it. And it was lighting the path, and I knew that it was an individual or individuals, and they were making their way through the darkness, and they would get a fairly good distance away, and then the light would stop. And all of a sudden, the light started growing. And it was the propagation of the light. It was the witnessing of the light, and the response of those to the light that was adding to the light. So you could see God developing, and then out of that bubble would come a little bubble, and they were going to different places in the darkness. And I was made to know that these were the operation of God at the end time. The time of great tribulation, the time of great distress, sometimes you could say, if you did not know the Lord, a time of great despair. Hallelujah. And, you know, we have been talking a great deal about deception. We have been sharing the mechanics of it and the aspects of it and how it works in some degrees and some of the effects of it and so forth. And one of the reasons why the Lord is hammering on this point is because you are going to have to overcome it. Hallelujah. You are going to have to overcome it. Everybody who comes into God has that propensity. You see, when we are born, it's not that we're just born without Christ, but we are born dead. And dead and death is synonymous with darkness. Yes. Hallelujah. Amen. So when Adam sinned, when Eve and Adam sinned, when they disobeyed God, the Bible says they died. But they did not only die. They Adam and Eve became the epitome of darkness. Hallelujah. Now darkness is something that... Darkness in the sense of as how the Bible speaks about it is not just the absence of light. I was asking God about it one day, and I said, "Give me a word that I might understand the abstractness of darkness, because it's abstract. You understand." You can't put it into a shape. You can't put it into a form. And when I asked God to do that, He said to me, "Malignant." Yeah. And I don't know how that word affects you, but it when it comes into my mind, when somebody talks about malignancy, I always think of cancer and the effect that cancer has on one's body. Or, in that respect, when somebody tells me they have cancer, you know, what are your thoughts? I suppose today there's more hope in the aspect of it than what there was as I was a child growing up and being related to it. Everybody who had cancer died. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And, you know, today they've made some strides, they've made some success. But, you know, at the end of the day, it shortens the life, it brings death, and it brings discomfort and destruction. Hallelujah. So when the Lord said to me, it's malignant, I begin to understand that this darkness is not passive. This darkness is not passive. It's something that has within it, can I say, a negative energy that works against God. Hallelujah. Not only does it work against God, but it is in that there is an intelligence in darkness that is anti-God. Hallelujah. We get a little glimpse of that. We get just a little glimpse of that in Romans. And you might want to turn there. Romans, the 8th chapter. Hallelujah. Romans, the 8th chapter. And it says, Romans 8. 8 is, by the way, the number of new beginnings. And it's talking about our position, our place, our ability of what it is that God has given to us or giving us an opportunity to achieve, to acquire. Brethren, we have a philosophy in the church, and it is a philosophy. It's not a truth of God. That because we are Christians, we have all authority. The concept in reality is true, but that authority cannot be given to you or to me unless I am qualified to handle it. Hallelujah. And we have seen it over and over and over again in the church. A man gives, God gives a man the gift that he's able to believe in the aspect of healing. Hallelujah. What does he do? Well, he heals people, yes, praise God. But he also erects monuments unto himself. He builds organizations and puts his name on it. He profits in the aspect of what it is that he is doing. Hallelujah. And then basically at the end of the day, he falls into sin. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. My goodness. Hallelujah. So it is not so much the aspect of the authority. It is the aspect of what it is that needs to be done in order for us to have, in order for us to be trusted by God. Hallelujah. Concerning the aspect of that authority. And if I were God, my problem would be compounded because I would see my weaknesses. I would see my shortcomings. I'd see my propensities of flesh. And my thought would be, this man is going to be one of your rulers. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But in the aspect, there has to be something in us that desires something more than the authority, something more than the power, something more than the demonstration, and that is the position or the thought of God, who and what it is, and how is it I can relate to Him on a basis, on a level that He, God, would be pleased with me. And if I want God pleased with me, I have to know what pleases God. Hallelujah. And how am I going to know what pleases God if I'm not spending a great deal of my time with Him? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And you know, there, we have no excuse. You, many of you work, your husband's wife work, you got busy schedules, you got things going on. It's not an excuse. Hallelujah. And God knows your circumstances, but in the aspect of the desire of your heart, if it desires God, then God will work in your circumstances to give you the ability to fellowship with Him. Whether you're at work or out there in the street or whatever it is that you're doing. Praise the Lord. And you know, we waste a lot of time. In the time that we have that is free, we waste a lot of time. You sit down and you begin to talk, and pretty soon you're talking about football, you're talking about politics, you're talking about something is happening, and there is no fellowship with God. There's no fellowship with God. Hallelujah. We do it over and over and over and over again. Hallelujah. There is no fellowship with God. Hallelujah. But when we sit down to talk and when something is said, if it is in line with your election, if it is in line with your calling, it should trigger something in you. It should trigger something, a thought, a scripture. It should trigger a response that you would begin to say, well, doesn't the scripture say blah, 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 blah? Hallelujah. And then you begin to talk about it. And then in the talking about it, God begins to come into your environment. Hallelujah. You cannot have, you know, we kind of relegate God to a special place like this. At a special time, in a special meeting. Oh yes, now we can talk about God. Now we can rehearse the things of the Bible. Now we are prepared to listen. But brethren, even in this environment, it's difficult. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Sometimes, you know, most of the times we don't even turn our phones off. The thing is going off, the phone is ringing, somebody thinks about something, they jump up, somebody wants a drink of water, somebody needs to go to the bathroom, somebody needs to go outside, whatever the case may be. It seems like we have a very difficult time sitting down, being still, and allowing God to come into our position, our place of fellowship. Hallelujah. And we are responsible because we are the ones who are being distracted. I was in a meeting one time, a conference type meeting in the States at a particular location. And we were praising the Lord, and the Lord was lifting us up, and we were having a wonderful time in the Spirit. And all of a sudden, you know, I was someplace else. Hallelujah. And I was in an office. It was a very nice office. It had a large desk. There was a chair in front of the desk, and you know, it was trimmed with oak wood. I like oak wood. I like working with oak wood. I like to build with oak wood. I like to dress with oak wood on the walls and things. And it looked very nice. And the Lord was sitting at the desk. He was sitting there. And there were kind of like electronic files. I've never seen really anything like it. It was like a manila folder, you know, but it was electronic. And you didn't open it. It just somewhat, he would look down and something would come onto the thing. And then he would look up and it would disappear. And then he would look down and it was like pages would be flipping. Hallelujah. And I knew that he was waiting for somebody. But over here, to his right side, there stood a soldier. And that soldier was, I knew that he was a veteran soldier. He had been there, he had been in the service as a soldier for a very long time. His uniform was impeccable. That was one of the things I liked about the services, the way they made you dress. You know, the crease had to be a certain way. Hallelujah. Your shirts had to have a certain stiffness in them. They couldn't be wrinkled or soiled or anything. And they had what they call a military line. Everything was to line up. Everything was aligned. He was impeccably dressed. And he was standing what we call at parade rest, looking to the front. He was looking to the front, but I was acutely aware he was very much concentrated on what the Lord was doing. Hallelujah. He was very much in tune with, very, very connected with the Lord. And as he was standing, and I also have to mention, you know, his buttons were gold. There was an insignia on his collar that was gold. He had one of those berets on. It was kind of a blue-green, and it had a gold insignia, many ribbons that I knew he had been in many different battles. Hallelujah. It was very descriptive. Hallelujah. I was very impressed with the man. Hallelujah. And I knew that the Lord had an appointment. And all of a sudden, in the chair, there was an individual sitting there. And he just, I don't know where he came from, he just appeared. He was right there. And I knew that he was the devil. And I have seen the devil maybe three times. He came to visit me twice, and I seen him one time walking around in an area where I was working, examining what it was that we were doing. Hallelujah. And I knew it was there, but this time he was different. He was dressed the same. He's always wearing these elaborate silk suits. He's always wearing shiny black shoes. His hair is always slicked back. He's kind of dark complected. Hallelujah. Very, very executive type, but very, very suave. That's a very good word. Very suave. And very, always so self-assured before. But this time it was a different type of scenario. He was like a little school kid. He was sitting in the chair. He couldn't sit still. He would never look at the Lord. He would never look up. He would never. He would always look to the side, look down, look up, look around. And he kind of slouched. And you know how kids will slouch in their chairs a little bit and kind of had his hand on his face, you know, that way. The Lord looked up to him, and he said to him, "Have you seen my people?" And he and he named the place. He said, "Have you seen my people there, worshiping me?" And the devil kind of squirmed around a little bit. He kind of squirmed around. He was a little uneasy, and he kind of had his hand over his mouth, and he kind of mumbled. The Lord looked up very quickly and looked at him, and the devil moved his hand, and he said, "Easily distracted, easily subverted." Easily diverted, easily subverted. Hallelujah. Thank you. Hallelujah. And almost the Lord looked up for just a moment, and I could see his eyes like fire. Hallelujah. And then he quickly looked down, and he did something on his desk, and then he said, "Go. Do what you have to do. Do it quickly." And the devil was gone. And he was there for a little bit, and then all of a sudden he spun around in his chair. And I want to tell you that soldier, he was standing like this, looking straight ahead. But the minute that chair started turning, that soldier popped to attention and was looking straight ahead. And as the Lord spun around in the chair, his finger came up and he pointed right into the face of the soldier. And he said, "And it's your job to stop him." Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. And the soldier was taken back, you understand. The suddenness of it, the quickness of it, it would be like... But he never moved. His face never changed. It never twitched. It never. His eyes didn't get big. But I could. I was almost like I was in sight of him. Hallelujah. And I am made to know that there is that soldier is indicative of the company of people that God is raising up in the end time. Whenever great deception comes, whenever great destruction comes, whenever there is a move in that arena, God always is making a preparation to save His people. Hallelujah. The most classic example of that is in the days of Noah. Hallelujah. But you know, there in the days of Noah, hallelujah, wickedness had increased. Darkness was becoming becoming extreme and preeminent. Can you imagine? There must have been hundreds of thousands of people. There must have been hundreds and thousands of people. Hallelujah. But out of hundreds and thousands of people, hallelujah, there was only 8 people. Hallelujah. And of the 8, it seems like maybe Noah and his wife were the only deciding factor, you understand. Because after we see the salvation of all of that, you see man again exerting his darkness. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. And there is an ark that God is wanting to build in this hour. There is an ark that God is wanting to establish in this hour. Hallelujah. But it's not an ark in the fashion or in the form that was built by Noah. But Noah's ark was an example of that ark. Hallelujah. As was the ark that was in the tabernacle. Hallelujah. As you come into the tabernacle, through the gate, through the brazen altar, through the brazen laver, into the holy place. And as you are working in that arena and you finally come to that golden altar of incense which stands between you and God. Hallelujah. We cannot approach God, hallelujah, without having to consider the fact of what that golden altar is significant and the experience of which we have to participate in. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, the tabernacle. Just let me put it up here a minute. Praise God. The tabernacle. The tabernacle is indicative of the plan and the purposes of God. You know, brethren, I have been sitting under the tabernacle teaching for God knows how long. I have probably been in hundreds, thousands of meetings. I probably have heard it over more times than all of you collectively put together. That's a lot of meetings. Hallelujah. And every time I hear it, every time we begin to discuss it, every time I am watching or listening to someone else as they begin to share, I learn something new. Hallelujah. It's like you get into something, well, like the atom. They're now finding out that inside the atom is more atoms, or more mechanical compilation of whatever it is that's there. So you have a universe that is within, and you have a universe that is without. And the universe that is in is just as big, if not bigger, than the universe that is without. And quite frankly, brethren, they don't know how big the universe that is without is. Hallelujah. And they say it's still growing. And you know what? I can believe that. Because God's nature is to create.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
God, because He's God, has to create.
Yes.
Everything about God is creative. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And man, because he's built in the image of God, and because he has the potential of God inside of him, is able to reproduce in some small, insignificant way the power of that creation. Hallelujah. You know, go and look at that bridge that they just built. out there. That the engineering behind it and all of the things that have to go into the consideration of gravity, wind velocity, water flow, all those things, the weight of the vehicles that are upon it, and not to mention the aspects and the movement of the earth and all of the things that go into that. That thing that is out there is a marvel. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And that is just a little nothing. Hallelujah. Compared to some of the bridges that they're building in other places. Hello. Hallelujah. They built a bridge in Czech Republic. They built it from one place over here, and they started at both places. Huh? And it doesn't straight. It was kind of turning like this. How did they get those two ends together? Hallelujah. The exactness in the competitions and all of the things that had to be done speaks of a creative nature, speaks of a creative force. The fact that they can even manufacture the material to give you the solidity and the strength to hold the weight of the height of it. You know, sometimes the height of it in itself is a major obstacle because of the weight that it's putting on the structure that's holding. I'm not talking about this, the structure here. I'm talking about the structure here that is the upright. It in itself has a weight that has to be computed. And then you have to figure, well, will the ground take it? Hallelujah.
Yes.
Hallelujah. If man can do that. Hallelujah. If man can do that, what is God capable of?
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. What is the significance in all of that? We should look at it and say, I can see the marvel in the hand of God. I want to know the totality of it. That's child's play. That's child's play. As far as God is concerned, that's child's play. And we do not know it, or we do not believe it, because we don't believe in the reality of who God is. Hallelujah. Let me tell you something about the creative power of God. Hallelujah. When Adam was created, and as God was walking and talking with him, what do you think they were talking about? Huh? You think they were talking about the weather? Huh? Do you think they were talking about the trees and the birds and all of those things that they were there? Come on, brethren, those are temporal things. Those are anything that they could be discussing on the basis of what it was that was there would be temporal things. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I think God was explaining to him the reality of a tree. Not in the aspects of the wood and the branches and the leaves, but as trees of righteousness.
Amen.
Hello? Hallelujah. God was going beyond the superficial. God was going down in past the realm of humanity and coming to the reality of what was in God's heart. Hallelujah.
Amen.
When he had the idea, he said, let us create man in our own image and after our likeness. Devil came in and said, oh yes, you're going to be like God one day, but you can't have it in this temporal, terrestrial position of life. You have to first accept him, join a church, and then maybe at the end of the day, God will be gracious enough because of all of your efforts and all of the work that you've done for the good of the kingdom will give you a ticket to heaven. Oh, yes. Hallelujah. This is the theology of the church. And the theology of the church is the advancement of their membership, hallelujah, while the rest of the world is going to hell. Huh? Hello? Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You know, I can fault no one for wanting to make a better life. But if you're wanting to make a better life for yourself, you don't know God. You do not know God. God doesn't consider self as an important thing with regards to him. God so loved the world He gave himself. Hallelujah. Did you hear me? It wasn't just a man called Jesus. It was a man called Jesus Christ who was with God in the beginning.
Amen.
Do you hear me? Hallelujah. The manifestation of Jesus and the aspect of what he was doing was the totality of the thought and desire of God for a people. Hallelujah. So he was working in the capacity to lead us by example. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. One of the words that the devil programmed into humanity that is part of our darkness is the position or the thought of self-preservation. Now, brethren, don't misunderstand me. I am not saying that you are not a giving people. I am not saying that you are not a forgiving people. I am not saying that you do not love God. I'm not saying that. What I am saying is that we do not understand the reality of who God is. And that there is still within us that thought of self-preservation. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Come on, say amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So one of the reasons why God blesses us and brings us to that position of salvation, hallelujah, which is the brazen laver, a brazen altar, is that we might know the reality and that the process of his, that he might initiate the process of his likeness. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There is an interesting thought. Some of you may know it, some of you may not know it. Hallelujah. The entrance to the tabernacle is called the gate. Hallelujah. It had four posts. Hallelujah. It had four posts and three spaces. Now, I'm going to define your darkness. Or I'm going to let the Bible define your darkness. Hallelujah. Everything about this structure is a prophetic word. Prophetic means that it is, it has been, it is, and it shall be, and shall do what it was sent to accomplish. Hallelujah. Because anything and everything that God speaks, he doesn't speak it out of his mouth. He speaks it out of the essence of his being. What he looses is a spirit of creativity. I don't know what else to call it. Hallelujah. That goes out to create within humanity. Hallelujah. To create within humanity to enhance the need for man and his, to enhance the need in man for the recognition of a God. Hello? Hallelujah. Come on, brethren. You didn't get saved because you were a good person. You didn't get saved because you had easy street. At least I don't think you did. Hallelujah. Did you? Hallelujah. You got saved because you needed a Savior. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Do you hear me? Hallelujah. The word saved is self-defining. You were drowning and somebody saved you. You were drowning in your darkness. Hallelujah. You were drowning in your darkness. Your darkness, your tradition, your idol worship, and all of the mechanics of iniquity that was in your soul. Hallelujah. It was killing you, and you knew that you were dying. Hello? Hallelujah. So the instinct of self-preservation came to your rescue. Hallelujah. Come on. Hallelujah. You know, I didn't get saved because I wanted to get saved. I got saved because I did not want to go to hell.
Yes.
Hello?
Amen.
And I knew the reality of hell, and I did not want to go there. So I got saved. Hallelujah. And you would take a survey. Hallelujah. Probably 99.999999999% of the people, if they were honest, they will tell you the same story. Hallelujah. So God used what the devil had intended to use to destroy me, to save me. Hallelujah. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Hallelujah. But you know that instinct of self-preservation gets no farther than this. Hello? Hallelujah. Because when we... Let me change that. That instinct of self-preservation gets no farther than this. Huh? Hallelujah. And that is the brazen labor. Hello? We get saved, or we get born again. It's the process of salvation. You know, these terminologies that we have. Well, I'm saved. Yeah, no, you're not saved. You're not saved until you get here.
That's right. Yes, that's right. Oh, yes.
Come on. Hallelujah. You may die here and go to heaven, but you did not accomplish what you were created for.
Amen.
Hello? Hallelujah. The Bible says of me that those that have gone before me cannot be made perfect without
me.
Who? You. All of you. This little baby right here. I'm sorry, sweetie. You're not a baby anymore. Hallelujah. But this little girl right here, this young lady, sorry again. Hallelujah. This young lady right here. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Has the power to destroy the devil. If she is born again. Hallelujah. The little baby up there has the power to destroy the devil. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Not because they're great, not because they have some sort of special endowment. It is because of how and why they were created. Hallelujah. That's the only reason that you have the power. You are translated, brethren. Get it into your mind. Get it into your soul. Get it into your heart. You were translated out of the kingdom of darkness. Hallelujah. Into the kingdom of light. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And we need to begin to comprehend. We do not even understand the reality or the significance or the magnitude of what it is that we have by virtue of our new birth. Hello? Oh my goodness, we don't.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And you know what? The devil creates an environment around you to keep your mind captive.
That's right.
To the environment. Oh yes. Oh yes, 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 yes. Yes, yes, he does, he does. He does everything he can do to make you think in a human way.
Lose us.
Amen.
Losing.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, sister, you weren't created to be human. You were created to be divine.
That's right.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. You know, when Jesus came and showed himself to the disciple, he didn't say, I'm flesh and blood. Huh? He wasn't flesh and blood. He said, I am flesh and bone. There was something flowing through him.
That's right.
That was not blood. He had given that blood. They drained every drop of blood out of his body.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
They beat him, they whacked him, they cut him, they tortured him, they pulled his hair and his scalp and his beard and his face. My God, every drop of his blood was drained out, and there was an energy life in that blood.
Amen.
Hallelujah. That was released into the environment.
Amen.
Hallelujah. That has the living capability of touching your heart.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
When you opened your mind to the reality, I need God.
Right.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
When you came to that reality, that energy went into your darkness.
Yes.
And there was something of electrical charge of life that generated your body, and you became a living soul.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
There was a young, there was a lady who was in her, how old was Betty? She was 70s. Hallelujah. There was a lady that had a heart attack. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And me and a brother decided we'd go up to the hospital and see her, because the doctor had told her husband to go to the funeral hall, make arrangements. Hallelujah. And we went up there into intensive care, and we went into her room, and she was hooked up with all of these different things and tubes and whatnot. She was laboring in her breathing, and the doctors had told her husband that it was only a matter of hours. Hallelujah. Brother getting around on one side of the bed. I stood on one side of the bed, and I put my hands upon her arm. And he put his hands upon her arm on the other side, and we begin to pray, and we begin to bless her, and to bring and to ask God to pour the life of God into her body. I'm telling you, it was like an energy, it was like an electrical charge, hallelujah, that came into the top of my head, and it just went down to my feet, and it went into my arms, and it went into her body. And as we were praying there, she began to convulse. Hallelujah. And she began to shake like somebody, you grab a hold of a live wire. Hallelujah. And she levitated off of the bed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And when that episode finished, and she poof, back down on the bed. Hallelujah. And she began to breathe naturally.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. She did not come to at that time, but we knew we had touched God. God had touched her.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
That was... It's been at least 12, maybe 15 years. She's in her 90s now, or late 80s. Huh? Still alive.
Huh?
Do you hear me? Still alive. Hallelujah. Creative power. Come on. It is the power of God in her that sustained her. Doctors couldn't figure it out. They couldn't get her out of the hospital fast enough. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
But the devil does not want you to understand. Do you hear me? That's why we have the church mentality. Brethren, forgive me. The devil got into church a long time ago.
Right.
Hallelujah. He got into the church a long time ago. There was a word that God gave me in the youth camp, and I encourage you to get it and listen to it. Hallelujah. How the devil, when God, he couldn't stop God from saving man.
Yes.
He could not stop him. Hello? Light shineth into the darkness. And the darkness comprehended it not. It means it couldn't lay hold of it. It couldn't stop it. It couldn't corral it. It just went right through all that darkness and smote you. Hallelujah. Do you understand the ramifications of your salvation? Huh? The generations of bondage. Huh? That is handed down from one generation. The sorcery and the witchcraft and the participation of it. Not to mention your own darkness. Your individual darkness. But yet, in the midst of all of that degradation, God made you a living soul.
Amen.
Hallelujah! Hallelujah! And no wonder heaven shouts. Huh? Hallelujah. No wonder heaven shouts. It says, all of heaven rejoices. Hallelujah. When a sinner receives the life of God, can you imagine the court of heaven? Lusababanaya. Hallelujah. Oh my God. Hallelujah. We need to open our ears. We need to hear those things. We don't need just to read about them. Oh well, the whole heaven shouts. Oh, that's a big deal. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. My goodness, I heard heaven singing one time. Oh my goodness, my goodness. My soul wanted to leap. Wanted to leap. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, it's out of this world. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I was in a situation and I was walking down this hall and I heard children. And I heard them laughing and giggling and playing. But it was like singing. Something I have never heard in my life. And I'm walking down the hall and I'm listening. It was like there was doors on all sides of the room, of the hall. And I'm hearing this thing and I'm wanting to find it. I'm wanting to know what the reality of it is. Hallelujah. And I come down to where the hall turns. And as I come down there and I start to make the turn, the whole wall opens up in front of me. Hallelujah. And I can't explain it to you. It was so absolutely beautiful. It was so enticing. It was so soul-drawing. And I could hear the wind blowing through the trees, and it was singing and mixing with the children. And I wanted to step in. In fact, I started to step in. I started to step in, and all of a sudden, this person was standing before me. And he says, "No, no, no. You can't come in here." I said, "But I want to come in." He says, "But you can't come in." I said, "Please. Please, please. Just let me come for a few minutes." And he said, "No, no. It is not the time." Hallelujah.
Amen.
Oh, but it was so beautiful. My soul, sometimes I'm sitting in the darkness and I'm reminiscing and I'm thinking, "Oh God, God, I want that place. I want that position. I want that fellowship. I want to have that sense of security and well-being." Brethren, I cannot explain to you the totality of my soul as it was yearning and yearning to reach out into that realm. Oh my God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You come back down to this mortal realm, man. It's like walking into a garbage pit. Hallelujah. The stench of humanity. Hallelujah. The stench of death. Hallelujah. But there's something that we need to understand concerning the process of God and what it is. And what it is that God has in front of us. And what it is that God has to do with us in order for us to qualify to be acceptable. Hello? When God said, "This is my son, whom I am well pleased," it was the acceptable accommodation for God. Yes, you have the right now. Do you hear me? You have the right now. Hallelujah. You have that position now. You have it right now. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And it's not strange that the first indication of it was at the baptism. Hallelujah. And when he came to be baptized, he said to John, he came down to John. John says, I have need to be baptized of thee. How did John know? It was his cousin. Probably grew up with him. Probably was familiar with him. But yet he had the revelation. Hallelujah. And Jesus says, let it be so, that the fullness of the law might be fulfilled. See you here. The fulfilling of the law. If we are buried with him in baptism, we are buried with him in death. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. This is the position of where that spirit of self-preservation is dealt a death blow. Hallelujah.
Right.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. But I want to go back here to the gate. Hallelujah. This is darkness. All of this out here is darkness. Huh? It is not only darkness. It is hell. Huh? Do you hear me?
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. It is hell. It is also world. Huh? Come on. No amens.
Amen.
No amens. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So everything out here that is of the world is darkness, it is hell, it is death. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
But it's not that's not the only problem. Huh? You and I are filled with that same darkness. Hallelujah. Oh, yes, but I'm born again. Yes, but do you still have darkness?
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
Of course you do. It has not yet been dead. It says you must be born again to see.
See the kingdom.
Huh? To see. Hallelujah. Did you hear it? To see the kingdom of God. When you see the kingdom of God, you see the darkness that is inside of you. But this is a prophetic word. Then I said this was a prophetic word. There are four posts, which means tribulation. Four is the number of tribulation. Hallelujah. There are four posts and three spaces. That means the fullness of tribulation. Tribulation for the deliverance of sin. Hello? Hallelujah. Jesus paid it all. Oh, yes, he did. He paid it all. That's right. He paid it all. Then why, when I got saved and I got born again, I was still smoking? Huh? Why? Huh? Because of the darkness. And I want to tell you something, brother. My Holy Spirit experience was a marvelous thing. It was a tremendous blessing. I got elevated. I got levitated. I got raptured. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. But I still had a problem. I still had some of that world inside of me. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So we are going to be tribulated. Now, what is it that is being tribulated? The gate was 20 cubits. Huh? Praise God.
Hallelujah.
If you divide 20 cubits up into three spaces, you get 6. 6. 6. Huh? What is 666? It's the fullness of man without God. Hallelujah. So I have a nature that is called the spirit Of perdition. Come on. Let me read you a scripture. Turn with me to Romans. Romans, I think it's the 8th chapter again. Yes. Romans, the 8th chapter. It says, for the righteousness of the law, verse 4, might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind. Hello? That's your mind. Do mind your mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. To be carnally minded. To have this mind. Hello? To have this mind in you, hallelujah, is what?
Death.
Hello? But to be spiritually minded is life in peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity. Have you ever looked the word enmity up? It means at odds with, at war with. It means a hatred.
Hostile.
Yes, a hostile. A hostile, malignant, see, in opposition to God. Hello? Now he has identified the place of your darkness. Hallelujah. That's why he says, let therefore this mind that was in Christ Jesus be where? Be in you. Hallelujah. Oh boy, come on. Hallelujah. You know, we go to a great length to educate our minds to think in a certain way. Your whole environment is tempered that way, you know. To think a certain way. You grow up in a certain environment. There are certain things. Now, I'm just using it as an illustration. Don't get angry with me. Hallelujah. In one of the countries that we have been in, you can always tell the child of what nationality from a distance. You know, I walk through airports and I see a lot of people and things going on, and I am kind of like a people watcher. My wife says, you are always looking at people. And I am. I'm always looking at people. I'm praying for them. I'm looking at them. I'm looking, and sometimes I see things and whatnot. But if I see a child talking to his parents and going like this, he's asking, please, and I know that they're from Czech. Because all the children go like this when they're asked for something. Yes, they do, don't they? Have you noticed it? Yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we train our children in a certain way. Hello? Hallelujah. I went to Ethiopia. And I have been taught from the day I was born that I don't eat with my fingers. In fact, I've been told that's why we have knives and forks. That's how we eat. We eat with a knife and we eat with a fork. And I'll tell you something else. Everybody eats according to where they are, where they were born, and under the influence of what uses a knife and fork different than another person. And if they eat on the back of the fork or the front of the fork, you can almost tell they're from this place or that place. Hello? Hallelujah. So they are eating, but they eat with their fingers. Hallelujah. And I'm thinking, you know, my children sitting at my table, they want to eat with their hand. I said, no, don't eat with your hand. Eat with your fork. Eat with your fork. Eat with your knife and fork. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I had somebody walk up to me one day in a restaurant in an airport in a country somewhere, and he says, you're an American, aren't you? I said, well, yes, how do you know? He said, I could tell by the way you were eating. our environments are conducive to teach us to move in a certain way, in a certain certain arena, and to be something that everybody else is like. Hello? Hello? Hallelujah. We are trained in a certain fashion to respond in a certain way to almost any and every set of circumstances that you can imagine. Hello? And into this darkness, that is what the devil is calling, the Lord calls darkness. Into this darkness, we are supposed to be translated out of the kingdom of darkness, but I am supposed to be translated out of the kingdom of the United States. Hello? Hallelujah. That means I can't go with the fad. Now, you know, the States, their dress thing, their thing went from way up here to way down here and over there, and this, they got the hippies. They came along, long hair, baggy pants. Then they had the skateboarders that came in, you know, with the shorts and the skateboards. Those, what do they call those things? Skateboards, I guess. Yeah. Hallelujah. All of these different types of fads and things. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So it's a little more difficult. It's a little more confusing. It's a little more a variety of spirits that you have to overcome. However, you know, in many different places, it's not that way. Huh? You have a particular style of clothing that you wear. You have a particular way of wearing it. Hello, are you listening? Yes. Hallelujah. Not that you're not supposed to wear it. Not that you're not supposed to move in that frame. But if you're not conscious, if you're not cognizant, if you're not aware, hallelujah, of the manipulation of the of your environment to keep you in a place of thinking and bondage, you will not escape from it.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
I dressed different, I talked different, I acted different prior to coming to the reality that God wanted to change me. Hello? I thought that all God wanted to do was to save me. But God did not want just to save me. He wanted to change me. And He wanted to create me into something other than what I was when He saved me. Hello? Hallelujah. And church does not teach us that. Church does not teach us that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, you as a people are very aggressive in what you believe, but you do not propagate the kingdom. You propagate your nationality. Huh? You do. If I want to find a Nigerian church in the United States, I find a Nigerian and I follow him. He will lead me to a Nigerian church. You conjugate, you conjugate, you conjugate, you move, and you, and it's not that I'm saying it's a bad thing, but if you want the reality of God, something has to break. Something has to change. Hallelujah. If you insist on being Nigerian or American, hallelujah, I will miss the reality of God and what it is that He wants to give me.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And you know, I can insist on it. Hallelujah. I can have my way if I want to. But the reality of it is, I will not get what it is He wants to give me. Hallelujah. Because there's a particular thing that God wants to do. He took Abraham as an example out of his country. Hallelujah. And created an entire new nation out of one man. Loose. Hallelujah. Why did He do that? Because He could not use any other nation. He had to have a new nation so that there would not be bigotry and prejudice. Did you hear me? Hallelujah. Bigotry and prejudiceness. Hallelujah. He had to create a new nation, and He made that nation suffer. Hallelujah. led him through suffering after suffering after suffering to demonstrate the reality of what it would take for you and I to come to this position. Hallelujah. Hebrews, the 11th chapter, is speaking repetitively of those that have gone before us. Hallelujah. Said they accepted not deliverance. They slept in caves. They were sawn asunder. They were persecuted and hunted down like mad dogs. Hallelujah. And blood was slaughtered and blood ran in the gutters. Come on, brethren. Hallelujah. Why? Huh? For the hope of a better revelation. They had a revelation.
Amen.
They had an understanding. And now God is coming to you and I as a people. Hallelujah. To facilitate that better resurrection. Do you hear me? It's you that's going to facilitate their resurrection.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
It is your position, your overcoming. When you overcome that familiar spirit, you break the power of that spirit over the people that are around you.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
When you begin to raise up against that nationalistic position of preeminence and pride, God moves into the realm and breaks the power of it, not only over your life, but over the lives of your family, and over the lives of the people in your community, and over the lives of the people in your country. Loose! Hallelujah. One little person has the capability of turning the world upside down. If they believe God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. We don't raise our children in the admonition. Oh, we teach them the Ten Commandments and we tell them, we get them saved. Yes, yes, please don't misunderstand. But we do not teach them how to be sons of God. Hallelujah. We have to teach them.
Amen.
We have to teach them. We have to teach our children.
Amen.
They are not born of the blood of Asbel. Hallelujah. They are born of the blood by the virtue of salvation. They are born of the nature of a living God.
Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
They have within them the capability. Hallelujah. Of setting me free.
Amen.
Huh? Oh yes, for they are designated. Do you hear me? Hallelujah. I had an experience one time. There was a particular familiar spirit. Well, there's a lot of them in my family. But there are some of them I was given the power to destroy.
Amen.
Hello? We had a spirit of alcohol in my family. My grandfather was an alcoholic. My father was an alcoholic. I mean, it almost killed him 3 times. Huh? And my brother was an alcoholic. And I was becoming an alcoholic when God found me.
Amen.
Hello? Hallelujah. But I determined that this spirit was not going to possess me anymore. Do you hear me? And I fought with this spirit, and I fought with him, and I fought with him, and I fought with him. And you know, one day, hallelujah, I broke the back of it.
Loose!
Hallelujah. My dad was 65 years old, 65 to 70 years old. Hallelujah. Drank all of his life. Drank a fifth of whiskey a day. Huh? Oh, yes. Hallelujah. Fifth of whiskey a day. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Tried to stop. It killed. Put him in the hospital 3 times. He would not stop. He could not stop. He was possessed by this devil. The day that I broke the back of it, he stopped drinking like that. Hallelujah. And not only did he stop drinking, but my brother stopped drinking. Hallelujah. And you know something? My kids have been tempted. They have been pursued after. And they, not one of them has had that position of being overpowered with that spirit.
Hallelujah.
Hello? Not that they're not having to deal with. Some of them are not having to deal with it. But the fact of the matter is, I broke the power of that spirit. Hallelujah! But you know, it required something of me. There was a division and a separation between me and my family because of the stand for the sake of righteousness. They were doing things that I could not participate in. And there were things going on with my dad and with my mom, hallelujah, that were not righteous. And I could not go, and I could not mix in that environment. And it brought a separation. I wasn't abusive. I wasn't abrupt. I just tell them, Mom, I can't do it. Hallelujah. Amen. And you know, it brought a separation between us. But you know what happened? Mom was blessed. God, when God took her, He took her into the realm with Him. Amen. You know, and when my dad died, God met him.
Amen.
Did you hear me?
Amen.
A man who has lived his whole life, hallelujah, fighting God. God at the end of the day saved his soul. Oh yes! How do I know that? Because God showed me.
Amen.
Hello? Hallelujah. So what's a little separation?
Hallelujah.
What's a little separation for a little time when I have eternity?
Hallelujah.
And the totality of eternity, and they're both walking and talking in eternity.
Amen.
Hello? Hallelujah. You know, my mom has come to me twice and saved my life. Hallelujah. One day I was traveling somewhere and I pulled over to the side of the road to sleep. Hallelujah. Because I was so tired and I just needed to get a little sleep. And as I pulled over and I laid down and I was sleeping, all of a sudden somebody was shaking me. And I heard her, she had a special name that she called me, which I'm not going to tell you. But she used that name and she said, wake up, wake up, wake up. And I come out and she said, get out of here. I said, okay. Put it in reverse, went down the road as fast as I could go. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Brethren, we are designed, we are created to walk in the heavenlies with God. Hallelujah. We are designed for life. Do you hear me? We're not designed for death. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We have the power of life within us. Let us look here in John chapter 1. What does it say? John chapter 1. Hallelujah. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Come on. Hallelujah. Can you hear it? The Word. What Word? This Word. Yeah? You hear it? This Word. This Word. Hallelujah. This is the record of God. Do you hear me? These are the words of God. Oh my gosh. Hallelujah. Moses heard, and Moses received, and Moses wrote it down. Hallelujah. Word for word, as it was revealed before his eyes, and the information of God was flowing into his being. Moses made a note of it. Hallelujah!
Yes.
Hallelujah!
Yes.
And John, oh my goodness. I don't know if it was here that I shared that experience I had. Was it here?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Of John and Jesus. And as Jesus began to speak with John, Jesus took John and he lifted him up out of time and brought him back down in the beginning. And he says, in the beginning was the Word. Hallelujah. He's seeing it with his eyes, Brother Jokes. Seeing the reality of the Word. Hallelujah. And he's sensing and he's feeling the energeticness of life coming into his being as he is seeing the reality of the beginning. And the Word as it's moving and hovering over the darkness. And then he hears the sound or the declaration, let there be light. Can you imagine John looking and seeing the reality of creation exploding before him? Woo! My goodness.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. And I could have the opportunity to be in that position, to be in that place. Hallelujah. But I do. Did you hear me?
Oh, yes. Hallelujah.
I do, because it's what God intends. is what God wants. It is the reason for which I am born again. I'm not born to be a plumber. I'm not born to be a contractor. I'm not born to be a farmer. I'm born to be a son of God. Hallelujah. And I must be about my Father's business. Did you hear me? I must be about my Father's business. And whatever it is I have to do, I must be about my Father's business. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Anything and everything else is death. Death, death, death. Hallelujah. I don't want to die. I want to live forever.
Hallelujah.
Did you hear me? I don't want to die. I want to live forever. Hallelujah. God knows my time and my frame, but I'm telling you what I want to do. What I want to be. I want to be a son that is pleasing to the Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want to be poured out like wine.
Amen.
Do you hear me? I want to be poured out like wine upon the altar. I want to be broken like bread. And God knows the breaking. My flesh will cry and it will moan and it will groan. And it will rebel. But God knows that in my heart of hearts, I want the reality of His presence. I want the reality of His being. I want to walk and talk with a living God. I don't want Him to be a figment of my imagination. I don't want Him to be a theological conjecture. I don't want Him to be a philosophical idea. I want Him to be as real as you are sitting there in that chair. Hallelujah! 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 I don't want to walk in time, brethren. I want to walk in eternity. Hallelujah. I want the power of eternity in me, moving in my circumstances.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What Peter and John had is child's play. Hallelujah. Do you hear me? What Paul had in the actuality was child play. Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. Hallelujah. I want that reality. I want to have that position. I want to be seated. Not in the position of out here or in here. I want to sit on His position of authority. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want my life to be such that God says, I have to give it to Him.
Hallelujah.
Did you hear me?
Yes.
I didn't say He wants to give it to me. I said I have to give it to Him. Did you hear me?
Amen.
The woman commanded virtue to come out of God.
Yay.
Unbeknownst to the man called Jesus, a woman commanded the virtue to flow. Hallelujah.
Yes.
And she was healed.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And He didn't even know who it was. Yes. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I want to be like that woman.
Amen.
That woman is an example of the church.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Yes. It says that the physicians had bled her.
Yes.
Of all of her finances.
Yes.
Loose them.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Bled her of all of her strength. All of her virtue, all of her vitality of life. Hallelujah. You know that woman was in a condition. She's a church, brethren. She was in a condition of contamination, and the disease she had was a disease for which she should have been stoned.
Yes.
Absolutely. According to Jewish truth, we're not talking about a woman that's a harlot. We're talking about a church that's a harlot. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You know, we've been talking about the deception. The church is programmed to receive deception. Oh, yes. The hierarchical system that they have put into play. The Pope and the Cardinals and the Bishops and the Priests and the Pastors and the Deacons and the... It's even elders. We don't have elders. We have pastors. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
We don't have elders.
Right.
Hallelujah. Elder is in the closet and he's praying and you don't even know that he's an elder.
Right.
Hallelujah.
Right.
Hallelujah. Right. And by virtue of his prayer in his closet, God begins to move in the midst of the people. He carries a burden on his back for the sin of the people. Loose, loose, loose. Hallelujah. 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 If you want to be an elder, go to your closet. Get in your closet and shut the door. And what you do in secret, God will commend it if he thinks it's good enough to be commended. Hallelujah. If he thinks that you're able to handle the glory of it. Hallelujah. We have examples. Man named George Mueller. Hallelujah. One of the biggest orphanages in the world. Hallelujah. He did not have a bank account. He had a living God. He had a living God. Do you hear me? And he had a reality of walking with that living God. Hallelujah. He could command the fog to lift. He was on a boat going to Canada or to the United States. Was it? In the United States.
No, Canada. It was Canada.
Okay, I thought it was Canada. And there was a fog. And they were chugging along in their little steamboat. Hallelujah. And he goes to the captain and says, "Captain, you need to go a little faster." He says, "I have an engagement at a particular time. And I have never missed or been late for an engagement." The captain looked at him like he was, you know. Hallelujah. And he said, to him, "Mr. Mueller, do you not know? Don't you see the fog?" He said, "I don't see the fog." I don't see the fog.
Amen.
And they begin to pray, and George Mueller prayed a simple prayer, and then the captain was going to pray and he says, no, don't pray, you don't believe. Hallelujah.
Amen.
They walked outside. The fog was gone.
Hallelujah.
He walked into his engagement on time.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Come on, brethren.
Amen.
Creative power, creative life, creative source, creative being, creative God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. But this nature has to die.
That's right.
God saves you so he can kill you.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Did you hear me? God saves you so he could kill you. Why does he want to kill you? Because he knows you can be resurrected. Listen. God said, Jesus said, "I do not, no man takes my life from me." He doesn't take it from me. Hallelujah. Did you hear me? Hallelujah. Doesn't take it from me. He says, "I lay it down. And therefore, because I lay it down, I can. He says, "I can pick it up again." Loosen. Hallelujah. This is my God, to understand the capacity that you have inside of you as an individual.
Yes.
The inheritance of God that has been bequeathed to you by virtue of being born again. Hallelujah. That's just being born again. Hallelujah. The reality of the kingdom is before us. The totality of what is hidden in God is now being revealed to us. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Giving us the ability. But brethren, I look sometimes at the labor and all of the things that God is putting out of on the table, and it seems like nobody is interested. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Nobody it seems to be picking it up. Nobody seems to be catching on fire. Nobody seems to be running with it. Hallelujah. But what I do know, that somewhere, someplace, God has a people.
Amen.
Hallelujah. God has a people God has a people, and that people will catch the fire.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. And it is upon that people that the light of God will rise, even as it is commanded in Isaiah. That's not just a word or a written, it is a commandment. Amen. The light shall arise upon thee. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. God help us. God help us. Help us to obtain. Help us to run. Help us to complete and to do what it is that God is putting into our hands. God bless you.
Amen.
Oh, God bless you. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah.